left this area, though. We're going to try to stay here as long as we can.
Contact all the friends you know from everywhere.
I have been. Yeah, it's a different procedure for those folks that are far away, though, right?
Oh, you know, I have a gal in Toronto, and she's been a friend of ours. And we talked to her about the business, and Dave Johnson happened to Toronto a couple weeks after we'd spoken with him. And we got him in touch with him, and he's building a good downline over there. Talked to her
Wow. So,
and Dave talked to her a couple times. Margaret's doing a good job.
Talk meeting. My God.
Pardon me?
You guys are good. You're kidding without me.
Is that Jerry?
Golly.
Golly.
Yes, right here. I'm ready to count. So, let's find out who. Is that Debbie out here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Awesome. Introduction.
You're really bad. Jim.
You're really breaking up here.
Yeah, really bad.
We hear like every other word.
Wow. Am I better now? No, still not.
Not really.
I'm still not good, huh? I'm gonna call back in because I should be better. I'll be right back.
So, Debbie, what's your last name?
Dyche. D-Y-C-H-E.
D-Y what?
E as in Debbie. Yeah. Dog. Y-C-H-E.
Okay.
That's me. So, Brad, how long have you been in the business?
Just a year.
Did you just kind of, and how did you start out? Using the product?
No. I had a girl that I worked with that introduced it to me. And it seemed like that was going to work. And I wanted to start helping get my family healthy.
How big a family do you have?
I have two brothers and a sister, my parents, but then we're working on my family in Utah, and then I'm making a trip out this summer to Michigan where I haven't seen family in a couple years. We try to go out every few years, and so I'm going to talk to them about it as well.
Good.
That's my mom's side of family, so, yeah.
Okay, I'm going to try it again. Is that coming in better?
Oh,
yep, that's better.
That's hard.
Well, I must have figured out something in the process. Welcome to all of you, and thank you for putting up with the technical difficulties, and as all of you know, for some reason, you all locked me out of my own call the first week, which was, I think, kids playing pranks or something. Then the second week we introduced, we had a couple of people, and this week we should have seven, so I'm going to go back down through this, and if anybody at the end of my roll call today is a should-a-be but isn't, let me know and we'll make sure we get this all squared away and taken care of. So, Steven Tatasciore, are you on the call?
I am here.
Way to go, man. It's good to have you. Shu,
thank
are you.
You
on the call? Shu's here. Brad?
Yes.
Yes, Brad was just talking. Steve Kropas, here. All right, there's another one. So, Melody and Dean, are you here?
We are here.
Yes.
Awesome. And Becky?
I'm here.
Oh, excellent attendance. And Debbie?
Oh, yeah, I'm here, dear.
All right, sounds good. Is there anyone that I'm missing out there? Okay, Very good. Oh, so here we are. We're making a family. We're into the kind of the third week of our Pathfinder experience, and we're going to try to get organized here. But what I would like to do, you've all been going back and forth, kind of sharing information with each other, and appreciate that. One of the first things that we want to do, though, is to become aware and as conscious of the capabilities that are brought to the table. Realize that the Pathfinder system, and this is really a thread that will kind of pass through everything that we do, is oriented toward we really care what you can do and we really don't care what you can't do. In other words, we're in a position to put together all of the skills available to us to make the most powerful team we can make. A powerful team has to have a goal or a place to go. The goal of the Pathfinder group is to find out, can we throw these seven people together randomly from out of the blue? Have you support one another and learn how to develop your own beacon downline, how to nurture, train, and how to understand the systems and mechanisms that you can build tens of thousands of people, how you can support people, teach them to come home with the skills and abilities to turn around and teach that to the next generation. It will be designed for you to go through learning materials, whether it be the phone call that we listen to from Texas every week, the audios and videos that we go through, the written materials, and for each of you to begin to troubleshoot within this group, for you to take lessons to the field, come back and compare notes. And the overall goal is to have each one of these groups, whether you've done it before or whether this is your very first time, is to develop a team that will become your future income for your family, and to get to the level of silver in 4 months or less. We'll be talking about what that level means. But tonight, the most important thing is for each of you to become aware of who each other are and what do you bring to the table. I'd like to have, we'll start down through the top again with Stephen, and would you give your background that someone else may be able to use as credibility in three ways, how you came to Niken, and what do you see it doing for you in the future? So, Stephen, would you start that out?
Sure. I came to Niken about 3 weeks ago. My wife got involved in Niken about a year ago, and I've never really gone to it more recently. I've always loved the products, but really just saw it finally, the business opportunity a couple weeks ago, and decided to pursue that. My background is in the healthcare field. I was a nuclear medicine technologist for the past 10 years and functioned in various roles in the industry and sales and medical science liaison and worked at the clinic as a technologist. And that's what brought me here. I wanted to come home and spend more time with my family as I became more successful in my professional career. It took me away from my family more, and I need to be home with my family where my time is most important.
Great. And what do you want this to do for you in the long haul?
I wanted to bring me home, first of all, and then I want to be able to share that experience with other people who are like-minded.
Terrific.
And get them folks to come.
Good, thank you. Shu, how about your background, what brought you, and what do you see for the future? I thought I heard him on here before. Did he on mute? That was a little bit there. Is that you, Shu?
That was me. I talked to him earlier tonight, and he knew we were going at 7:30, so...
Okay, maybe she has the wrong phone number.
He double-checked with me in the code just to make sure.
Hello? Can you hear me now? Yeah, there you go. Okay, I switched phones. Yeah, this is Ray Shuland, and I guess how I got started was I saw a guy with a pair of Neken socks on at a exercise place one day, and I asked him, I says, Chuck, what are those socks? What kind of socks are those? And he looked up at me, and he was a retired doctor, and he says, if it wasn't for these socks, I wouldn't be able to play handball. And I sat there and looked at him, and I'm thinking, hey, what has socks got to do with handball? And he started telling me about all this other products and stuff, and I says, where in the heck do you get that stuff at? And he says, oh, I know a guy that knows a guy that knows a guy, and I ran all those guys down. And they came out to my office one day and just didn't try to sell me anything, just tried to find out a little bit about me, and I'd been in Vietnam with a couple Purple Hearts, and I was hurting, and stuff, and they wanted to loan me a few products, and my wife and stuff, so she used to have three prescription inhalers, and came back in about a week and a half, and I says, man, what else do you got? And since then, my wife's never had a prescription inhaler since, and I'm feeling an awful lot better, and my folks are feeling better and stuff, and I got into it just because I liked helping people more than anything. And that was a while ago, and I've taken a leave of absence, and now I'm back, and I just want to continue helping people, and now I want to do the business, which I didn't before, and stuff, and I'm really looking forward to this Pathfinder to get me started on the right direction. Wow, good strip. Awesome. Thanks, Jerry. Okay, then next up is Brad, the towering coach of All That Matters in the hotel area.
My background is that I'm a middle school, 7th grade kindergarten social studies teacher. I coach football, wrestling, and baseball. I love football. And I was introduced to it a year ago by someone that I work with. And, you know, when I saw the presentation and stuff, I just kind of, the whole thing just kind of made sense to me. And I just went and did some education, did some research, tried to educate myself. And the more that I looked at it, I thought, man, I can help a lot of the medical problems that I have in my family. Help my family first, and then I started also thinking and looking a little bit more at the business opportunity. So my first goal was to help my family. My second goal was then to retrieve my lifelong dream that was slowly slipping away. So that's pretty
much. And that dream is?
Coach college football.
All right, does everyone here want to help him get to that?
Yeah.
All right, thanks. That's terrific. Okay, Mr. Crowfoot. Steve Crowfoot.
Okay, background. Grew up on a farm outside of Spokane, Washington.
Can you give me a star four, or if you're on a cell or something, correct that.
Okay.
Give me a...
Okay.
Automatic gain is now enabled.
Yeah.
Is that better? Okay, anyway, grew up on a farm outside of Spokane. I spent 20 years in the retail industry, 6 years as a wholesale jewelry rep. Spent another 8 years in customer service, and I'm have had tremendous product experiences myself, my family, my credit the products with my wife being alive today, so we can do three ways and testimonies on just about every product we have out except the cookware.
And what do you see this doing for you being on Pathfinders?
Allowing me to have the discipline that I need and the accountability that I need so that I can continue and build this to the point that I know how to do it, and then be able to duplicate that with other people so they can do it. Build a humongous business.
Okay, first and foremost is most of us were all attached. Whenever we decide to do something, we usually get it done. And it all comes down to a decision. So if you made the decision to saddle up and be into this kind of commitment with one another, now you're asking other people to help hold you to that commitment, but really it's a
an internal thing, is to make a decision and go. So thank you, Steve. I know you've been around and listened to a lot of these, and this is the first time you've really poked your head up and said, all right, I'm going to go for it. So be aware that at some point along the line, Brad may throw you the ball, and that means you got to go for it.
That's good.
All right, Coach.
Sounds good to
me. Okay, Melanie and Dean, what's your unique in, and what's your background, and what do you see this doing?
Well, I'm a realtor, and I'm can't wait till I don't have to sell real estate anymore. And Dean and I both owned a cell phone store, and we're done with that. That's about a week out of that, so. I got into Nikin about a year ago, but since Dean and I had made a commitment to each other that we would not get involved in any other network marketing companies, he wouldn't even listen to it. And since I couldn't get him to listen to it, I told myself, well, how can I get anybody else to listen to it? So I didn't really get too involved. I, you know, bought the products. That was pretty much all I did for the past year, but then Dean got involved about a month ago, and we're ready to make it work.
Can you give us a good old on that, Dean?
Ditto, ditto.
Okay. What do you guys have been, this all went incredibly well. 5 years from now, what are a couple of things you hope to become between now and then?
We hope to become, well, we plan to be gold in time to go to Mexico. I don't know. I guess I don't really understand the question.
That's going to be one of the critical questions that we will discuss throughout the entire course of this this study, is that there are three possibilities that you can gain from your affiliation with just about anything. They're what you can be, what you can do, or what you can have. And the quintessential one, the pinnacle of all of them, is the B. And so what you become, Nikin, is about humans being more. So if it's not clear now, there are two reasons why it won't be. One is that we haven't discussed it. The other one is that I'm remarkably famous for asking questions where people will say, I have no idea what he just said. It's okay throughout the course to say to the other people, what did he just say? Because they probably didn't understand what I was saying either. Thank you, and welcome to the team. Becky, what brought you, and what's your background?
Let's see. My background is basically cleaning and restaurant work for the last 20 years. My parents actually brought me to Nikin, and when they did that, I think it was about a year ago, I thought they were crazy, but I decided to support them and sign up so that I could get the products at a discount, so I did that, and didn't really pursue the business side at all until I hurt my foot about a month ago, and the doctor told me I had to have surgery if it wasn't better, and I decided to use Nikin products instead, and I decreased the turnaround time of getting better at least by half, and it completely sold me, and so now I'm 150% on board, and in 5 years, I'm going to be so successful that I can't help but smile every single minute of every single day.
Oh, my goodness. Well, from what I could tell last Saturday, you're getting there rapidly.
Yeah, well, I'm excited.
You were lighting up the room.
Thank you.
And then our final contestant for tonight.
Make a deal.
I tried to get on one of these before, but her timing apparently came right, as she's now got a growing and vital downline, is Debbie Zeit. And Debbie, would you give us your kind of your history and where you see this going?
Oh, I'd be pleased. Well, I've been in Nikin for about 2 years, I think, and superb upline right across the street. And my background is in real estate for about 30 years. And
security by now I've been in. And frankly, what I could see is that if I kept doing it, I would be in the same place in 5 years as I have been for the last 30. And real estate has been lucrative for us, to say the least, but I really don't want to be a 70-year-old real estate agent. So I've been looking over the course of probably the last 20 years for something to change that scenario, and I always thought network marketing would be the key for me. I tried 5 or 6 different ones. Issuer name, one of them starts with A. And it never worked out, and I've seen the way with Nikon that I can actually have a retirement and be able to help others in doing so. So that's my background in the future. I want to go to Mexico with Melanie and Becky. I think that's sold pretty fast.
Very good. Very good. Well, here's something I'd like to have you all just sort of ponder for a moment, and that is that, did you get a sense for the power of the group of people that are on this call?
Oh, absolutely.
Yes.
Definitely.
And really, some of the people on this call have been involved with Nikon for less than a month.
Yeah.
And yet, wouldn't you feel comfortable in bringing someone who is a prospect, a guest, or a friend to listen in vicariously and feel that Nikon would be extremely well represented by just hearing this group of people talk?
Absolutely.
And really, my facilitator is to basically just be the old fart here.
Cool.
And, you know, I get the opportunity to have mental lapses and that sort of thing. The brilliance is all going to come from the new energy that's in this group. And what I want you to start from is a premise that says, if you were the seminal group for Nikon North America, no one has ever been or seen or done, and you just dropped in and you were all invited as a group into the room and said, let's figure it out. Go out and be about making this happen across North America. How many of you would kind of go get your excitement up if you were part of a group like that? And that, you know, is sort of a pioneer mentality. I want to plant in your head the sense that each group of people that you put together is an important group that must understand that is the beginning of something huge. Every season, coaches in basketball or football, they have a new team to work with. Or a group that's going to climb Mount Everest. It's a new team, and you work with those people in a different way, and you work with a specific set of guidelines that you're going to be moving toward an end. This group is no different. You have a purpose for the next 16 weeks, and that purpose is to get people across the line. I like what Wolfgang, who is the fastest person in Nikon, from zero to $100,000 a month check, and I think it took him maybe 14 months. That sounds like it might have been 24 months, but that's pretty quick. And what he did was he had the perception that he was going to, he got into Nikon 10 years after he came to North America, and he had been in Germany for a bit before he even started it, but he made the assumption that we're going to take on this deal, we're going to take on this country, we're going to make it happen, this is snapping. You know? Am I better?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you fall down?
Crap, on my end, so I thought it was the same as I had before. And what he did was a really interesting thing. He pursued a group of people with one major concept. He said, Nikon is not a powerful thing in Germany right now. And he said, I will change that. I don't know network marketing, he said, but what I do know is that there are 70 million people in this country, and we need to get a mattress on each one of them. So Now I need to take that premise and come up with a way to utilize the systems available to get that job done. In his mindset, he said, I'm going to break this country into six geographical regions. And the people that he recruited 13. And out of the 13, eventually 12 of them became diamonds and one became a royal diamond. And in his perception, he put them all together and said, we are going to agree together to accomplish something. And he said, you're going to determine what that something is. He taught him a few things when he pulled them all together. And he said, we're going to go through a confidence course or a ropes course, if you've all heard of one of those. And he said, the most meaningful thing at this conference that they went to, the most impactful and powerful and team-building part was a section where they had a 12-foot wall. And the goal was, as a group, every single person needed to get over that wall. There were no handholds. There were no places to crawl over or to stick your feet or there was no ropes. But you had to get everyone over the wall. Now, in normal everyday life, we can get a couple of the athletic people over. We might be able to make a pyramid and get one or two people over by climbing on the backs of everyone. But the biggest challenge, and they spent 6 hours coming up with a way to try to get every person over the wall. And when they finally did it, can you imagine the sense of comradeship, the sense of shared experience that they went through? And that group went on to conquer worlds that we've never even imagined were possible in terms of rank advancements and how people grew, how they used the skills of the other people on that team to develop what they needed to develop. Right? 6 weeks is to get all of you to work together to get every single person over the wall. But it's going to be similar to the old World War II movies where you get dropped behind enemy lines, you discover that there's a need, and you got to get information back to your side so hundreds of thousands. As you start the process, you expect everyone.
You're fading out, Jer.
Okay, how about this? Am I better now?
That's good.
You're way loud,
okay.
But quit breathing.
I think what I'm doing is I'm trying to recharge my phone at the same time. If I touch the thingy, it makes it go scratchy. So
touch the thingy.
All right, that sounds good. So if we start this process, we're going to have to get the information across. It's our express purpose that all of you get back across the line with the information. But there may come up some things where we have to dig a snow cave and leave somebody. We're not going to leave you to die. We'll come back for you later. The deal is that this must get done. It must get done. We must get as many people across the line as we can. You're setting a precedent for your people to follow. You're setting up something that you can believe in, that you really, this is not about you. It's about the people who are to come after you. It's about them knowing that you know how to set the path for them to walk. And then it's about them to gain the strength individually to develop into who they need to be your silvers as you grow. Here's a mental construct I would like to have you sort of evaluate. If you were to listen to some of the people who, for those of you who bought your starter pack, it's called the Ignition Sequence Pack. There's a CD in there called Welcome to Pathfinders. And they have a group of people that talk about their experiences as having gone through the class. And if you get some of the others from the Pathfinder Summit, what you're going to hear there are silvers who went silver during the Pathfinder system. And many of those people sound more experienced and more powerful after their 16-week experience than platinums of 5 years. Or 6 or 7 years sound because of their absolute adherence to a principle and belief that it can work. And as they come out of the program, they know how they did what they did, and they can turn around and offer the same opportunity to people who follow. So follow this. How many of you here would like to get to the level of Royal Diamond?
Yep. Absolutely.
Would Royal Diamond actually provide for you most of the things you needed from this sort of the financial things you needed from this world?
Yes.
Does anybody know what the last calculated average income for Royal Diamonds, this is about 5 or 6 years ago, but the average income for Royal Diamonds across North America, do anybody know what that is?
It's about $70,000.
How much? How much?
I was thinking $150,000.
Average monthly income?
Yeah.
Average monthly income, right.
No, I don't.
Yeah, one time was $177,000 a month. Now, if you all subtracted your house and car payments from that, could you survive?
Probably.
Make it. Barely. In order to get to that pinnacle, if you were to get up to that point, watch what would happen. If you were to just simply recruit 9 people who were exceptional people, now you might have...
losing you.
Ah, shoot.
You're back.
Okay. If you have 27 pretty good people, and 81, well, people enjoying it, but not really sold out on it, but you have 9 that really got it. Can y'all imagine that?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
And those 9 went through one of these P1 courses. The express goal is to try to get all 9 of them to graduate. And if they graduate, what rank would they have achieved? Minimum.
Silver.
Silvers. We're going to say that because life gets in the way and the average of thirds takes over, only 1/3 of them qualify for graduation. If 1/3 of your 9 people qualified for graduation after a single 4-month run of this, what would your rank be?
Gold.
That's right. In order to be a gold, you have to have 3 personally sponsored silvers, so you would have made gold requirement. Now, let's say each one of those people is taught to be as autonomous and to be use the system as well or better than you do, and they started their own team of 9 in their second 4-month run. Out of that, each one of those only got a 3rd, and each one of them would end up with that. Since they got 1/3 of their people graduating, each one of those 3 people would be what rank?
Gold.
Now, all of those people would gold. If the original 3 people gone through and developed their 3, they're now golds. And if you have 3 golds, what did you rank after the second 4-month run? You're now a platinum. Now we're going to go into the 3rd 4-month run that will complete your first year after you started your Pathfinder experience. And each of those new silvers runs their own. They have 9 people that go through, and they all become silvers, or the 1/3 of them become silvers. The new group becomes silvers. The group above them becomes gold. That would make 3 of your people platinum, which would make you what? And then finally, if you in 16 months, if you were to have one more generation, then I'll be Royal Diamond.
Yay!
Woo-hoo! The factor then is to try to, now let's look for people who would be appropriate to team up with groups like this, to get excited about each other's enthusiasms, and to assist each other in what will be the future. And the future of business, the future of life in your household, the future of NECAN, the future of all sorts of things is going to come down to how well you can learn to network. And that network is going to be critically important. Let me give you a piece of advice. If you do 3 ways, who are the 3 ways for?
Your prospects.
For the prospect. Explain why that's true.
you and the new person?
Good.
The new person realizes that, or the prospect realizes that they don't need to know everything. They have help. They have a team.
Captain, dial the phone.
Very good. So, doesn't this fly in the face of most people's description of what they think a three-way is to start with, though?
Yeah.
What do you think most people perceptualize a three-way like?
Bring in the big gun, the closer.
Ah. So how many on this call sort of have a gut-level feeling that if I made you do a three-way tomorrow, you would feel like you were trying to bring in the closer and it wouldn't feel right?
It's always been my shortcomings is closing.
Okay. And the reason might be because we're poorly defining what the product is, what the benefit to the prospect is going to be. We want to have a very clear definition of the qualities that that prospect is going to gain from your affiliation. Once you have that clear understanding and you know that it's incredibly valuable to them and important to them, more important and the more valuable, I'll see how you become less and less susceptible to rejection. Because the more you believe that it has immense value, the less likely you are to be able to be persuaded that it's scary or you're trying to cajole someone into doing this. It's just good. And when it's just good, and you just say to people, if you want my cherry pie, and they say, you know what, I'm full right now, it doesn't kill you on the inside. You're just good, and you're offering something good. How you still want to define is what is that thing of great value? Because it can be so easily misinterpreted in your own mind. And so if the question we go back to is in terms of this three-way call. If your perception of the three-way call is that it's about you and it's about closing, then you will hammer your poor prospect into the ditch. You will try to gain from them something they don't want and get money of theirs they don't want to spend on something they didn't need in the first place. You will end up doing those things. But if your perception is that the three-way or the affiliation that you are providing that person by getting in touch with the people on this team or the people on your team as it develops, if their perception is, I can't wait to see these people because they've been built up, it just sounds like a really cool thing. So if your three-way then is provided for the benefit of the prospect, that's totally different than most people see and perceive, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Well, isn't this three-way just listening to what the prospect wants?
Well, you don't have a bad bias. You're good to go right from the start. Most people don't. And this is one of the things that we're going to do a lot of is we're going to be coming back and saying, how do your prospects perceive this? How will your new distributors perceive these things? How does all that stack up in your life? And how would you teach them if they get off track? So the first thing that we have to continually remind ourselves is that the prospect, all they want is cool stuff. The distributor, as soon as that prospect crosses the line and becomes a distributor, they want validation so that they can back up their decision when their spouse hammers them or when somebody that they know is, they want to convince somebody, they want to go out and take on the world. They want validation, 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 validation. And so that's going to be what they're throwing out is what you guys got to see this because it's this many millions and it does these things and these products will grow back your ear and all this other stuff. can I make loads of dough? Will I be really cool? Will people think I'm great? Will I have fun doing it? Can I do it? Do the products work? That's what the prospect wants to know. And if we get off of that, the prospect doesn't want to hear diddly squat about the rest of it. So we've got to continually remind ourselves that the prospect wants to know the cool stuff. The distributors are the ones who want all the validation. So the second thing we got to keep in mind, that they will do what we do and not what we say. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So the very first thing they experience is, oh, Mike, you have got to meet some of the people on my team. And so, bang, you pop up and go, Brad, I got this guy, Mike. He just has so many skills. I'd like to have him kind of look at Nikan, but I really don't know where he's at on this, but I did want to introduce him to you, Brad. Brad's a coach, and he's got some things going on a lot like you're like, Mike. Brad, why don't you tell him what you're doing and why Nikan? You see how Mike kind of feels validated by that? The prospect?
Yeah.
Do that a couple of times and give them a sense that they will add value to the organization. And then if they see that they can be a part of that, wouldn't it be cool if 2 or 3 days after they got in, you were using them as a validator for somebody else, they feel like they get recognition. One of the things that may come up later in our courses, but we'll see if you remember it. What are the top 4 reasons why somebody stays at the work they do as opposed to moving to another company?
Comfort?
Brainwashed.
Fear of change.
Change? Yep.
Secure in what they're doing.
Okay, now security, there's an issue. I heard it said once that our comfort zone, more a familiar zone. People stick with what they do because they know how, even if they hate it. Even if it's uncomfortable. Even if they know there's a lot of better things out there, probably, at least they know how to do it. But here are 4 motivators, positive motivators that keep people at one plant over another, keep people on one team over another. Number one, the number one most important thing to people is recognition. Being recognized that their contribution matters. Number two is beyond recognition, it's feeling like they have a part in what's going on, that they really have a piece of it. Number three, this will flow in. It comes before money. Number three is food. If somebody brings donuts on Thursday, that's more important for keeping your staff on the job than it is for raising their salaries up.
Yep.
And number four is the money. So we want to remember those first two, recognition and being a part of a cause, and they matter. Those are things that we want our prospects to hear. So if they experience mattering, I guess mattering would be the right word, and if they experience that right from the get-go, you'll be surprised how much people will give up to be a part of the game. How many of you, I noticed at this most recent last Saturday event that we had, there was better enthusiasm than there has been for a lot of our events recently.
I thought it was great.
Yeah.
And one of the reasons was because many of the people there, we showed them and the world that they mattered by wanting to hear their opinions. And as a result, the energy, just the more people we put up to matter, the more everybody mattered.
Remember that as you're building your group. Your expectations of your people will be manifest in their experiences. And they will rise to your expectation every time. If you expect them to be kind of slow, if you expect them not to have any money, if you expect them, here's a good way to put it. If you look at the last year and ask yourself critically, did I get in the last year, especially if you were working at something like NECAN or at NECAN, did I get what I wanted or did I get what I expected I would get? So now what we need to do is to really nail those expectations. Well, we've got a lot of catch-up to do on this call, and I want to introduce you one to the other. It's a powerful group. I think all of you can sense that. But I've got a couple of bookkeeping to do here. Over the course of the next week, here are your homework assignments. Number one, Listening for Success, which is a book by Steve Shapiro. Now, this book is about 45 pages long, but it doubles base in big words. So it goes by pretty quick. I think you're going to be profoundly influenced by this book. Next week, we'll come back and compare notes on it. Number two, you will be listening to Fishers of Men by Ed Weins. That's a CD that'll come in your kit. Number three, this is so critically important that you just get in the habit of doing this. You must listen to the Texas call that corresponds to your week. That Texas call is on focusongrowth.com, and you can just listen to it right over your computer. At any time before our call, it'll be a good idea to take notes, especially if you're going to see me a couple of days before so you still have a remembrance of it.
So what week are we on so we know what week to listen to?
We were starting week number four.
Okay, number four of this.
Yeah. No, it's actually week number three. Week number one is the setup call.
Right.
And we're going into week number, setup call is kind of setting things up and kind of making an introduction, but we're going to be moving into the third unpack, the setup call. Oh, here's one other assignment is to make sure there are a couple others, and then just catching up here. Make sure that you have your ignition sequence guide. That'll be our Bible as we go through this program. And you can get that from, download that from pathfinders.biz. Want your Pathfinder 1 workbook and work through every week up to where we are next week. That's what you have. Does everybody have it?
Which is week 4, right? Next week is week number 4.
Okay, now here's the other point. We did last week. I'm going to ask you guys that did it. I'm picking up.
No, you're getting out.
Losing you. I'm going to dial in on another phone.
Weren't we supposed to have read Listening for Success last week?
Yeah, you guys, Listening for Success last week? Yeah, if you did that, then great. The other people are going to be catching up. The next is, did Steve, you guys get that last week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, okay, good. All right, we will discuss some of that next week. So that means we have to move into our next book up, which is Building Your Business One Story at a Time. And that'll be the first three chapters, Building Your Business One Story at a Time. We will also listen to another CD, and that should get everybody caught up, called Building Your Network Marketing Business, one story at a time. Building Your Network Marketing Business by Jim Rohn. One of my favorite all-time CDs. It's really cool. And then we asked the group last week to go out and attempt to make three people smile during the day every single day. Not attempt to, but just do it. By letting them know that they were good at what they did, or you observed something that they about them that would make that person feel better about themselves because you were there. And I'm going to just quick, there was just a couple people on that, but Steve, did you get a chance to do that? Steve Proquist.
Yeah, I did.
And Steve had a great story, if we have a moment here, because we only had two people that were really participating last week. And Steve, if you, I'll go to Steven. Steven, how about you? What was your experience with making people smile? What did you get from that?
I got a great feeling from doing that. I like to do that in general, but consciously making an effort doing it kind of makes you chuckle. And
one of the things that we found is that if you begin to start to monitor those things, and you maybe put a little chart, or you might put something in your pocket and switch three beans from one pocket to the other when you do it, just to make certain that it's a reminder that you do it, that's really important. But we're about to start my other call now, but I do want to give you what we call the turn, and this is a really critically important thing to do. Go out and try to make those people smile, but the key is you want to listen very carefully for their responses. And your book, Listening for Success, should really be laying that groundwork for you, for those who've read it from last week. And as you listen to what other people are telling you, they literally will talk you into signing them up if you listen and carefully craft your questions. The key is carefully crafting your questions so that you end up with the answers that you want. If you're going to sit around for 4 hours and ask people what they did in third grade that they probably should have got kicked out of school for, you can probably learn a couple of things from that, but it doesn't lead you to where you really want to go with NECAN very quickly. So when you start asking your questions, start asking questions that are good prospecting questions. And remember, there's a big, big, big difference between prospecting and recruiting. Steven, do you remember what the difference is?
Yes, I do. Prospecting is in somebody's interest, and recruiting is helping them build their business.
Actually, that you're one step beyond that, because recruiting, that's sponsoring. So you've gone, the PRS program is prospect, recruit, and sponsor, and you've gone recruit and sponsor, and I'm going to step one step back, because this is really a fascinating step. If you don't get this, you'll tend to stalk people. And when you stalk people, they know you're stalking them. Have you ever noticed that?
Yep.
If you really dug somebody in school, then they didn't want anything to do with you. So we're going to play the nonchalant deal here. So the way this works is the prospecting, recruiting, and sponsoring. Prospecting is simply getting market information. And it's learning about people, learning things that you can use in the future. Maybe it's learning about what do police officers think about, what do teachers think about, what do athletes think about, what are some of the things that are unique to their lives and their lifestyles, what is it that's on the horizon or in the future about what they do. These are, when you're prospecting, the number one thing I do when I go out prospecting every day is to fill my memory banks with fascinating things about different types of people and where they are in their lives. That's all prospecting is. And because of the answers to your questions is you're just being fascinated with people and their answers, some of them will indicate that they should be recruited. Is that a revelation to anybody?
Nope.
Yes.
You should prospect everybody and recruit a few of them that indicate that they should be recruited.
Yes.
Yeah, makes sense.
And in fact, what's really fun is that you
you can go out and prospect and prospect and prospect, and they won't have any idea they've been prospected. All they know is that they've been assisting you in gaining information about the coolest person in the world, and that's them. And when you get into that scenario, that's an absolute win-win scenario, where you learn so much about life and people and what God made and the qualities inside of people's hearts, you learn about that.
But Jerry, when you're talking about people that are on your 100 list, both, especially those of us that have, you know, that are real close friends, kind of already know, so can you kind of skip the prospect? And
in that case, there are probably key questions that would help you in your prospecting. One of them would be, hey, we've known each other for a long time, and I do have a lot of respect for you. I just wonder something. Right about now, are you pretty much financially independent, or do you ever look for something new to do on the side? That's a prospecting question. And depending on their answer, they will begin to start to help you understand whether they need to be recruited or not.
Yeah. Most of the
yes.
Most of those people, Jerry, when you go that direction, do you find that a lot of them have that? Well, I guess a good friend probably would, but even some of those exaggerate that they're going to build themselves up.
That's a great point, Ron. Here's what we found, and this is a great story for both calls, because I think everybody's on both calls. And thank you all from the first call. We are overstepping our bounds here, so I will do extra push-ups because I'm late. But if you, this is such an interesting thing about the psychology of working with people. If you ask questions in the negative, they will most likely come back with a positive. So you could say to some grocery clerk, man, it must suck standing on that pad all day, and just this must be a dead-end job. You know what they're likely to say?
Great job in the world.
That's right. I get to meet people, and you should try it sometime, and they pay us really good, and they're very friendly and all that stuff. But if you take the negative side of it out, and you only lead with the positive, number one, people don't want to be around negative people. If you're asking negative questions, the only thing they know about you is that you do negative stuff. But if you do the other side of the equation, you could say to somebody, man, this must be just the happiest job, because you just get to meet people all day long. It's got to whiz by. But there was one thing I heard, and that is that people leave this occupation really quickly because they're making money so fast that they often retire very quickly, and you have to keep replacing them all the time. Now, see, you take this Pollyanna positive, and they're going to go, are you nuts? I don't pass anything. My feet are killing me. I hate coming to work every day. And that guy over there that works over there, he's got this great big hairy back, and it grows up out of the back of his T-shirt, and I have to watch him all day long.
Oh,
so let's practice that this week, whether you're on one call or the other, is to see if you can get that response in the things that you do, the people that you talk to, the situations that you come up with. Lead with the positive, but put a spin on it. And Dave Johnson's a master of this, on the spin. And one of his greatest lines of the spin was, leading with the positive. How many people have ever heard of a major multi-billion-dollar Japanese corporation ever came to North America? Then he spins it and failed. And you go, tilt. What did that guy just say? Came to North America and failed. Oh, now you see, you remember the tilt. You remember that turn, that twist. And the same thing when I asked him, gosh, they must be filling your spot here because you retire a lot real quickly. That's a twist on what they're expecting to hear. They like hearing that positive stuff, but if you can learn to turn and twist it. So bring back some of your experiences next week and share them with us. Oh, finally, for that group, we are going to be asking for complete and incomplete this next week, and that means that you have to have 5 ABCs. You have to have gone to a wellness preview, and if you don't have one to go to, you're going to do one at home. have to have done your homework, and when you get on that call, there is no justification whatever. No one gets to say, I was four, but I almost got... Nope. Leave your butt behind you. We don't care what you can't...
It's a welcome preview to the dog, right?
That's right. Exactly.
Bye.
And make sure they stay attentive. So that's your requirement, and nobody gets to explain an incomplete. We just say complete or incomplete. You either are one or you are the other. Now, we will go all over having people tell us how they got complete plus four. That'll be totally cranking. But if you've got incomplete, say it, be done with it, be off it. And we'll talk about next week why that's important and why it's important to do it that way. So, hey, great start. Glad to have you all. I need to have you all send me your email information, your preferred phone number, and email it to me at jerrywhite4@comcast.net. Then I can make up a roster, and then you guys can start doing three ways with each other right out of the bat. Y'all got it?
Yep.
Got it.
Welcome. Awesome. Let's do it.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry.
Thanks, Jerry. Thank you.